Hello, and welcome to Good Morning Thailand. Today we'll be talking about some of the news topics from across the country. I'm Jay.
And I'm Alex.
This ad is brought to you by CarZuno, the easiest way to lease a brand new car in Thailand.
And we're going to start with our first story today. Beloved Brit found dead in Thailand hotel room. Simon Brown, a 47-year-old machine operator from Pontypridd, South Wales, was found dead in his Thailand hotel room last Saturday, leaving family and friends in shock and grief. Known for his outgoing personality and love for travel, especially to Thailand, Brown's sudden death has prompted an investigation as there were no prior signs of ill health. His family faces the costly and lengthy process of repatriating his body to Wales and has launched a GoFundMe campaign to raise £10,000 with over £2,000 already donated. Close friend Mark Davies highlighted Brown's hardworking nature and the disbelief surrounding his unexpected passing. Cause of death remains undisclosed by Thai authorities.
Yeah, shocking story. They haven't revealed the location or the cause yet. So, 47-year-old man, obviously too young to be passing away, especially with no known illnesses before. We'll see what this investigation unfolds. Pretty terrible, shocking stuff whenever this happens.
Yep.
And our hearts go out to the family. Anyways, that's not the only tragedy in the news today, unfortunately, as an Israeli girl has died in a tuk-tuk accident on Patong Beach Road. Now, a tragic accident on Patong Beach Road last night resulted in the death of Nibat Banasi from Jerusalem at 10:40 p.m. Patong police alerted the Nba family from a tuk-tuk while traveling from her family on Tawinang Road. The driver, Bunyang Kawakson, 51 years old, explained that he had to brake abruptly to avoid hitting a pedestrian, causing Nba to fall and be struck by a car behind them. Despite being pushed or rushed to the Patong hospital, she succumbed to her injuries. Patong police are continuing their investigation to ascertain further details and responsibilities. This is one of the scary things about commuting in Thailand, especially via tuk-tuk, is that they're not always you're not strapped in, you're not belted in. This poor girl was, not secured and then fell out of the tuk-tuk on the way over and was struck by a car and killed. So it's a terrible thing, another cautionary tale to be very safe when using tuk-tuks or traveling by scooter. Wear your helmets and make sure that they're driving at appropriate speed, too, if you notice them in traffic. Anyways.
All right. Well, we're going to move on to our next story, where we're talking about a jealous durian vendor's ex-partner opens fire, injuring two. The calm at Tung Kok Police Station was disrupted yesterday evening when durian vendor Apichot, 55-year-old, arrived with gunshot wounds inflicted by his jealous ex-wife, Dutharat. The incident occurred at a Suphanburi residence 5 kilometers from the station. Apichot sustained a chest wound, while his current wife, Tiporada, 30, was found with 3 gunshot wounds. Both were taken to Somdet Pra Sangkarat Hospital. Police apprehended Dutharat, 49, at the scene with a .38 caliber pistol. The shooting followed a confrontation after Dutharat saw the couple selling durians. She faces charges of attempted murder and illegal firearm possession. Well, we've seen plenty of stories where love can do crazy things. This is just another example. Durian can't solve everything.
Yeah, and to me, the durian thing is, it keeps popping up in the news a lot lately, durians.
Yeah.
But also, the ease with which people seem to be getting their hands on guns, too. Thailand does have a lot of firearms out there in the ether, so we do hear about these jealous spats escalating into real serious violence.
Yeah.
So hopefully they can make a recovery, and this woman can be taken off the streets. Jealousy or not, shooting people.
Is not okay.
Yeah.
That's coming from the America.
I know. Yeah, controversial statement. Moving on. Now, I don't know if you remember the rice story from a few weeks ago, but the 10-year-old rice auction resumes today after safety tests have been conducted. Now, Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Commerce, Khun Phun Tham, announced the resumption of the 10-year-old rice auction following private lab tests that showed no contamination. The Public Warehouse Organization, or PWO, is expediting the auction process with meticulous care. Private tests revealed no carcinogens or fumigation residue, and further quality checks by the Department of Medical Sciences are underway, with promising initial results. Phun Tham emphasized the importance of thorough checks and transparency to ensure public confidence. The auction will involve 150,000 sacks of rice, with bidders conducting their tests to guarantee safety. This effort aims to maximize returns from government stocks and avoid the previous scenario of selling spoiled rice at low prices.
I love some 10-year-old rice.
It sounds like, you know, if I didn't know any better, it would sound like an East Asian delicacy.
But yeah. Yeah.
Apparently that's
1,000-year-old egg. That's yeah, exactly. A very very popular delicacy.
The old century egg. Yeah, exactly.
Is it 1,000-year or 100?
Century egg is what they call it.
It's a 100-year-old egg.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Mm.
Same, I guess. 100 yeah. century.
Turns egg. All black and all yeah, that. And they're yeah. like, oh, yeah, it's delicious. I'm like, I don't know. I'm going to have to agree
to disagree.
People
eat balut.
What's oh yeah
in the Philippines balut is a delicacy. It's the one where the fetus of the bird has actually grown.
Oh yeah, that's a thing in China too. Yeah.
Oh okay.
Is that not a thing here?
No, not. I don't know. I guess in some parts maybe. Yeah, feels not, like, not really. Not that yeah. I've seen it.
Good. That feels like one of those low karma foods. Mm. Like yeah, I don't know. You gotta Does either it? Get them before or after adulthood. Yeah. I'm not sure. yeah. Anyways.
Yeah. 2 for 1. You know?
I guess so. Yeah.
It's crunchy. Anyways, we're going to move on to our last few stories today. Our next story takes us to the sea levels that may force Thailand to move its capital.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this story takes us back a while, but Thailand is grappling with the effects of climate change, with projections indicating a significant risk of flooding for low-lying areas, including Bangkok, before the century's end. The possibility of relocating the capital has become a serious consideration. A senior official from Thailand's climate change office highlighted the urgency, noting that Bangkok could face inundation if current trends continue. Thailand is exploring solutions like constructing seawalls similar to those in the Netherlands and implementing new environmental laws to reduce pollution and promote eco-friendliness. These measures are part of a broader effort to combine climate change and protect vulnerable areas from rising sea levels.
Mm.
Bangkok is singing, quick, get a new capital.
Yeah, we talk about this. I'm from Florida, so this comes up all the time with Florida and Miami and things like that. Like, yeah. I don't know. I don't know if this is going to be like just a slow retreat from the sea or something like that. But I do know we probably don't have to wait till the end of the century to see Bangkok underwater.
Yeah.
Like we'll be seeing it probably by the end of this week. So,
I feel like we also need to set our priorities right. Every time I hear a news report, they always say, Thailand might have to change its capital or move its capital. I think the priority should be, let's stop a city from drowning and millions of people from losing their livelihood and homes.
Yeah, I
feel
know.
Like that's a better
headline. Yeah, that would be nice.
But that's not as attractive.
I mean, we've seen cities flood before, like even New Orleans, so it is a big deal. But I don't know.
But a few countries have successfully changed their capital cities.
Yeah.
Malaysia, I believe, didn't it? I don't think Kuala Lumpur is the capital anymore. It's Putrajaya. I'm not.
No, what's the question then? Where do we move it to? What do you think would be the new capital of Thailand?
Ooh, that's a very
I don't know.
Question.
You let us know in the comments, I guess, guys. Where would you put it? And probably try to avoid the sea, because that does seem
Chonburi.
To be the problem. I don't know, maybe
somewhere
Chiang Mai.
Chonburi.
Chonburi, yeah,
too much pollution in Chiang Mai.
It is bad.
Hey, you know what? They should move the capital to Chiang Mai. I guarantee you. The pollution problem and the burning crop problem will immediately disappear.
Right? Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like, with all the government officials living there, they might care a little bit more.
Yeah.
Anyways, on to our last story. I've got to feel good for you guys. Now, scientists in Thailand are freeing endangered sea turtles into the wild.
Yay!
Now, in a bid to bolster the wild population of endangered leatherback sea turtles, scientists in Thailand have released 11 one-year-old turtles into the Indian Ocean from Phuket. This effort follows significant conservation initiatives aimed at improving the survival rates of these sea creatures. The turtles, now equipped with satellite devices to track their progress, are expected to grow strong in the wild and return to reproduce in about 20 years. This release is part of an international conservation effort by Upwell Turtles, reflecting Thailand's success in nurturing leatherback turtles through their first year. The initiative underscores the importance of understanding turtle migration paths and to better protect their hatching process, as these turtles face numerous threats in the ocean, including fishing equipment, plastic waste, and toxic substances.
Save the turtles!
Indeed. Now, did you know the turtles, like the eggs, the gender of the turtle is determined based on the temperature that the eggs are incubated in.
Oh.
And because of global warming, about 90% of sea turtles are being born as females.
Oh.
Only 10% is males. And you know what that means?
extinction.
Good time to be a male sea turtle out there, I think, man. 9-1 odds. Not even joking.
Nine to one odds.
Yes, when I was in the Caribbean over December, it was not an uncommon sighting to see one male sea turtle entertaining about five or six women sea turtles, like just getting on top of each other. And I was like, what is going on? It's happening everywhere. So, yeah, this side of the world too, apparently.
Okay.
Good luck out there, sea turtles.
All right, we're now going to dive in for a couple of stories from around ASEAN, starting with Malaysia. Malaysia overtakes Thailand as Southeast Asia's second biggest auto market. Malaysia has surpassed Thailand to become Southeast Asia's second largest auto market, following Indonesia, according to Japan's Nikkei Asia. Sales data from industry groups in Malaysia, Thailand, and the Philippines and Vietnam show that Malaysia's auto sales have topped Thailand's for three consecutive quarters up to March 2024. The Malaysian Automotive Association reported a 5% increase in first quarter sales, reaching 202,245 vehicles, following an 11% rise in 23 to a record 799,000 plus vehicles. Government sales tax exemptions for domestically produced vehicles have bolstered national brands Perodua and Proton, which hold about 60% of the market share. Conversely, Thailand's auto sales have slumped, falling 25% in the first quarter, influenced by rising non-performing auto loans and stagnant consumption. Despite the growing share of electronic vehicles from Chinese markets, Thailand's auto market has struggled.
Yeah, so like I don't know, Thailand was priding itself on manufacturing in a lot of ways. Malaysia is overtaking. And domestic, so a lot of these brands, they move their manufacturing into those countries, or the countries force them to, so that they start building the factories there and they get the infrastructure there to start building their own car brands. And it seems like Malaysia's doing that pretty well, and it's taking off. I don't know. I, for one, I'm, I don't, are you gonna, do you have a car? You don't have a car, do you?
I do. You do? In Phuket.
I just don't see it as very feasible to drive a car in Bangkok, personally.
Yeah. In Phuket, for the longest time, you have to actually drive a car.
Yeah.
I was recently talking to my dad, who was telling me that he was just like, let's just sell our cars, or we should have never bought the cars. And I said, why? Why? What's up? He's just like, it's so much cheaper to have Uber now. He's like, consider the amount of tax you pay per year, the amount of insurance if you have a nice car.
Gas.
It's just like, it actually adds up to probably half.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's great. Like, for me, it's a no-brainer.
Commute with Uber.
Yeah, exactly, man. I'm there. Well, anyways.
Or get a motorbike.
Yes.
Be a man.
Okay. I'm facing a lot of pressure here.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, off to Indonesia. We have more volcanic activity as Indonesia's Ibu volcano spectacularly erupts, forcing nearby villages to evacuate. Now, Mount Ibu, located on the remote Indonesian island of Halmahera, erupted spectacularly on Saturday evening, sending gray ash clouds 4 kilometers into the sky, accompanied by streaks of purple lightning around its crater. The eruption forced the evacuation of residents from 7 nearby villages, with a joint team of police, military, and search and rescue officials assisting in the effort. Residents were transported in pickup trucks and sheltered in emergency tents. The Indonesian Volcanology Agency raised Ibu's alert level to the highest on Thursday, following multiple eruptions earlier in the month. Now, Halmahera, home to over 700,000 people, faced this evacuation as part of a broader volcanic activity in Indonesia, which sits on the Pacific Ring of Fire with 127 active volcanoes. Recent volcanic activities have included deadly flash floods in Marapi in West Sumatra and an eruption of North Sulawesi's Ruang volcano, leading to significant evacuations and casualties. It's getting biblical over there, man.
I don't know.
Pretty shocking stuff.
Indonesia's, the story is forever, regarding volcanoes.
Yeah. I don't know. Aren't you glad that that's not something we have to deal with here in Bangkok, at least?
Like, definitely.
It's one of those. I know one of our longtime viewers, Mojo, lives in Iceland, and that's another issue over there.
Yeah, true.
So, hey, where I'm from in Florida, it's hurricanes. We have to prepare for in terms of natural disasters all the time. California, you got your earthquakes in Japan. What are we doing here? Thailand? Are we just lucky?
Not much.
Yeah.
We're fairly okay. Just floods.
Yeah.
Pollution.
Yeah.
Just, I would say, man-made issues.
Can be, yeah. Definitely happy I don't have to contend with lava.
All right. We're going to move on to our next story, which takes us to Vietnam as it nominates Public Security Minister Tho Lam as new president. Vietnam has nominated Public Security Minister Tho Lam as its new president following the resignation of his predecessor amid an extensive anti-corruption campaign. The Communist Party's Central Committee agreed on Lam's nomination, with approval expected from the National Assembly on Monday. Former President Vo Van Thuong resigned in March, succeeding another president who resigned in 2023 due to corruption scandals during the pandemic. The anti-graft campaign, spearheaded by the Communist Party General Secretary Nguyen Phu Thong, aims to eradicate corruption, which he considers his party's gravest threat. Lam, a key figure in this campaign, has over four decades of experience in the Ministry of Public Security and became the minister in 2016. The recent political upheaval, including the resignation of parliament head, highlights internal instability that could impact Vietnam's regional ambitions.
Yeah,
it's not a good look.
A lot of these things too can turn into little witch hunts too within the party, especially with like one party systems or one party dominant systems. They're never just one party. There's always politics involved, and there's always factions splintering off and stuff like that. So it's always hard to put your finger on who's like really the bad guy in the situation, because so many politicians in positions of power have the ability to abuse that power. So hopefully some stability comes to that situation and Vietnam can get back to business.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's it. Those are some of the stories from across Thailand and ASEAN. Let's dive into some of the live comments and say hello to Zaviwa.
This ad is brought to you by CarZuno, the easiest way to lease a brand new car in Thailand.